All right, it's only 1 minute past the hour, 8 a.m. Good morning. This is the Miraya Breakfast Show. Now, moving on, it's 2 years since the agreement to resolve the conflict in South Sudan was signed in Addis Ababa today. And implementation of the agreement that was seen as an instrument of hope has been too slow. And 2 years down the road, peace remains an illusion.
Well, 2 years on, what must be done to make peace a reality in the country? This morning, I'm glad to tell you that we have Chris Trott, who is the UK special envoy to South Sudan and Sudan, currently on a visit to South Sudan. He joins us in the studio to tell us more about his visit. Chris, it's good to have you on Miraya Breakfast Show again. Good to see you. Welcome.
Good morning and thank you very much. It's a great pleasure to be back.
Yes. Can you tell us briefly about the purpose of your visit to South Sudan this time around?
Well, obviously, I am involved as a member of the Troika in trying to help support IGAD's revitalization process. So I wanted to come here and to be able to talk to the government and to other people on the ground in South Sudan before actually I go on a tour of the region. So I'm going from here to Addis Ababa to talk to IGAD about the process, to understand how we, the Troika, can support it. And as you've heard from Ambassador Fee just now, This is important to all of your partners because we see it as an opportunity to really look again at the peace agreement and understand why it's not being implemented.
Yes, and talking about the revitalization process, a lot of definitions have come up. People define it in the way that maybe favors them. Now, as Troika, how do you define the revitalization process of this peace agreement?
Well, I don't think it's up to us. I think it's up to IGAD because it's their forum. But I think we all understand, as actually Ambassador Fee was saying just now, we all understand that in order to implement the peace agreement effectively, we need to broaden it out and we need to renew the commitment of all the parties to a process that will lead to peace. Mm-hmm. I think what we've learned is that this is a very complicated process. And so perhaps the agreement was a little ambitious, I don't know, but we need to look again and ask ourselves why it didn't deliver the peace that we all frankly really wanted and hoped for when it was signed.
Right. And just taking you briefly back to your visit, are there any specific outcomes that you would expect from this visit?
Well, I think I had a couple of key things that I wanted to achieve. Sadly, this is the last day of my visit. So yesterday was a really interesting day for me because I went to Bentiu. As you know, the UK has supported South Sudan in many ways over the years, particularly on the development and humanitarian side. But we now have troops in this country as part of UNMISS. And it was a real pleasure for me to go and see them on the ground in the UNMISS field office in Bentiu. So that was my first experience of going to the northern end of Unity State. I also wanted to talk to the government to understand their expectations of the revitalization forum. So I was very pleased to be able to see President Salva Kiir the day before yesterday for a conversation about the revitalization process. And to understand, there are obviously a number of other initiatives out there, including President Museveni's initiative to reunify the SPLM. And I wanted to understand how these all fitted together, because we, the UK, need to understand and the Troika need to understand that.
And in your conversation with the President and all those officials that you have met with or had the chance to talk to, what is their view on this particular revitalization? Well, how do they look at it?
I mean, I think my slight concern is that there is still some confusion about what to expect. And I think that it's really important for us to try and tie that down. Which means that I suspect that the original date for the event will slip a little bit as we prepare for it, because this is a really important moment in the peace agreement's history. And if we hold this event prematurely, we will perhaps not make the most of the opportunity. It's about information sharing, idea sharing. And obviously, I talked to the president also about the national dialogue because he raised that with me. And I explained again, as I have in the past, that the UK is very interested in the national dialogue. But in order to really help the peace process, we feel it needs to be absolutely inclusive and it needs to be transparent. And we need to enable people in the country to understand what's going on, which includes then sort of elements of press freedom and the ability to engage in a dialogue.
Right. And just on that note, what next and what needs to be done to fully realize the full implementation of the peace agreement as a member of Troika?
Well, for us, I think the first thing we need to do is to stop the fighting.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that that can't be a unilateral ceasefire by any particular side that's declared and then not monitored or verified. So the key thing, I mean, another element of my visit yesterday was I spent some time with CT SAM. We need to ensure that CT SAM can do its monitoring properly and effectively. So if we can find a way to a monitored ceasefire, a verified ceasefire, and then allow the international community to provide the kind of humanitarian assistance that people need in every part of this country, mm-hmm. so that people are no longer fleeing the country but are actually able to stay safely in their homes, then I think it creates the right kind of background for a discussion about peace.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, well, there are also proposals for sections of the government to extend the 30-month transition period. Do you think this is justified? And if so, what should be done?
Well, I think you have to look at the peace agreement, including its timeline, when we sit down for the revitalization process. I mean, we are absolutely clear that there is no way right now or in the near future we can see a credible election being held. You can't hold a credible election when so many people are displaced. And as I understand it, the millionth person mm-hmm. crossed the border mm-hmm. into Uganda yesterday, more or less on World Humanitarian Day. You can't. How would you include all those people mm-hmm. or the people in Sudan in an election if you tried to hold it before peace had returned and people had been allowed to go home?
Yes. Mr. Chris, you did mention that the war has to stop, the fighting has to stop, and this is a call you just made here. I mean, this call has been made since 2015. A lot of the international community have urged the warring sides to put down their guns. They have talked to the people, they have condemned the situation on the ground, and of course, the humanitarian situation in the country. Just right now, as we speak, 1 million people crossed to Uganda, and others are still in the protection of civilians camp within the country. What is going to be different now? This call have been there, these condemnations have been there. What is going to be different for the people of South Sudan who are yearning for peace to be able to achieve that?
I think that if we can negotiate ceasefires between all the groups that are fighting and then give them an incentive to put their guns down, which means that there has to be a political process that they think will achieve their aims. I think the problem in the past has often been that people have resorted to guns rather than dialogue, because they have felt that that's the only way to make an impact on the political process. So we need to create an expectation that the political process will succeed. And that, I think, will come because IGAD, as Molly Fee was just saying, IGAD has become increasingly concerned about the situation here and is determined this time to ensure that the parties talk to each other and talk to each other properly.
Yes, talking about IGAD, some people or some section of people have called or have said IGAD has failed because of their interests, you know, the regional interests as well in South Sudan. Others have even suggested that IGAD is no longer the right body to be able to negotiate peace in the country. Others are calling for African Union or the United Nations to take over. Do you think they still hope in IGAD? I mean, should people expect something from IGAD?
I think people need to understand that this process is not just going to involve IGAD. I mean, we as Troika stand in support of them. And what we saw in January was an agreement between the AU, the UN and IGAD to work together. That hasn't materialized in a concrete way. But what we would really like to see is a partnership between these institutions. I think there is a role for the African Union, there is a role for the UN, and then behind that and in support of that, there's role for all of South Sudan's friends, perhaps not just the Troika, perhaps IGAD Plus. I mean, I was in Beijing 2 weeks ago talking to the Chinese, who are very interested in supporting the peace process. So maybe there's a way that we can bring more international support behind the peace process in some kind of way or another. I don't think you need to name it or give it a formal title, but basically we do need to support IGAD because it's IGAD who can deliver the change and support it.
Are you hopeful yourself that this revitalization process will bring peace for the people of South Sudan?
I think we always have to be hopeful, because if we're not hopeful, then we almost condemn the process in advance. So we have to go into the process committed to making it work. That's why I'm here. That's why I'm traveling through the region. And that's what my government stands ready to do in any way that it can.
Right. And Chris, last but not least, our listeners out there maybe would like to know what role the UK is taking up in this peace process.
Well, I think we take up a role in numerous ways in support of the people. I mean, it's from our humanitarian assistance to the support we give to education, to health, and then my own commitment in terms of the international engagement in support of the peace process. I do whatever I can, wherever I can be helpful, in support of IGAD and the broader international effort. And I think one day we will deliver peace in South Sudan.
If you just join us, you're listening to Miraya Breakfast Show. Our guest this morning is Chris Trott, who is the UK Special Envoy to South Sudan and Sudan. He is currently in a visit to the country, and as you heard from him earlier there, he is traveling around along the region to actually try to see on the process of the peace revitalization in South Sudan. Now, the whole thing at the end of the day comes to the political will by the South Sudan leaders in resolving, but now there seems to be a lot of mistrust and in a way little hatred or something like that. Do you think the political will is there, talking to all the leaders of South Sudan and trying to bring them back to the table?
I think there will be. I think that what you have to do to start with is take very small steps to restore confidence, because I think trust has decreased. So you have to do it in a step-by-step process, which is why creating a ceasefire and then ensuring it's monitored properly and verified properly, and then taking little steps ensuring that people who violate the ceasefire are then called out, will eventually rebuild that kind of trust. And I think that, as I understand it and as I look at the internet and social media, there is a sort of growing support amongst ordinary South Sudanese for a peace process that delivers peace. And I think the sooner that your leaders recognize that and hear those voices, the more likely it is that there will be political will.
Right. And Chris, finally, as we head to the World Humanitarian Day, what are your projections on the humanitarian situation right now in South Sudan?
The humanitarian situation worries us all. It's desperate. And we are very, very keen to continue to do what we can and to encourage all the leaders of the different factions and the different militias and the different armies in this country to work with us, to enable us to support the people of South Sudan, because it's the people who are our number one priority.
Right. Thank you so much for visiting us.
Thank you. It's a pleasure.
All right. And that is Chris Trott, who is a special envoy to South Sudan and Sudan, currently on visit to South Sudan. And he has been with us in the studio discussing on the revitalization of the peace agreement and also sharing his expectations on this visit. And that brings us to only 15 minutes past the hour, 8 a.m. This is the Miraya Breakfast Show.